It's Throwback Thursday on Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Call or text them now at 800-969-9467.
The Lord speaks to us a blessing through number 6, and it's Throwback Thursday. We're being joined by Rabbi Jeff Adler of Messianic Congregation Sha'arei Yeshua right here on the northeast corner of Indianapolis. He's in your neighborhood. He's on the air. And good morning to you, Rabbi Jeff.
Boker Tov. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Broken toe right back at
you. That's right. Amen.
Ouch.
That's about all the Hebrew I know. Shalom.
Shalom. There you know. You know more Hebrew than you confessed.
Yeah, that's right. Man, what a privilege to have him on, Steve. I love this because we've been talking all morning. I love this passage of Scripture.
Yes.
And because it is such a great blessing. And in fact, you have that as our Scripture of the Day, so it really ties in well, Steve.
Yeah. You know, Rabbi Jeff, we're so pleased to just have you be able to exposit on this because you, as we were just getting onto the air, you know, so you had said that a lot of people look at this scripture and they say, oh, you know, this is a prayer, but it really isn't. Tell us exactly what this is.
Well, you know, in context, it's just such an incredible interjection by God, because in the context, in the beginning of the sixth chapter, God is giving instructions about the Nazarite vow, and for most people who took that, there were a few people that were sort of set up in advance, like Samson and Samuel. They were actually told, the parents were told before they were born that they'd be under a Nazarite vow for their entire lives, but it talks about things they couldn't touch. They weren't allowed to drink wine. They couldn't cut their hair. And as a rule, most Nazarite vows were fairly short term. But then God, you know, and we tend to think, we look at that, and we tend, just like we tend to look at all of the commandments of God, like all the things that God is putting, is telling us we can't do and we have to do, and like God's trying to put us under his thumb. And then there's this blessing. And again, people tend to think, and so often, and every time I speak, every time I do a service, I tend to close with this, chanting it in Hebrew and then translating. And I often have the people say the English to each other, because it is not a prayer, even though people tend to bow their heads and close their eyes and take a prayerful stance. It actually is a blessing from God. It's not our speaking to God; it's God speaking to us. And in the 23rd verse of number 6, it says, again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you are to bless the children of Israel. In other words, in the verse that follows, God says, in this way, you are to place my name or invoke my name over the children of Israel, and so I will bless them. It is a statement from God. It's not our talking to God. It's God talking to us, stating his intent. And people tend to think of God as some kind of cosmic goon in the sky who's there just trying to put us under his heel. And instead, the commandments of God and all of the instructions of God and all of the things that God says in his word are because of an intent to bless us. He loves us. And we just... because God is a completely free agent. He's transcendent. He's completely independent. He is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can be whatever he wants to be. There is no one who can take him to court or do anything. If God chose to be completely fickle and changeable, no one could do anything about it. And the reason God is faithful and consistent and merciful and full of love is because he chooses to be. He does it for the fun of it. He gets a kick out of loving us. And we just can't, and it's hard for us to relate to that because we are surrounded by people who are so changeable. And so God interjects this, and Jewish practice is that this is pronounced in every service. And that, you know, when God gives commandments, when God judges, he does it even in mercy. He's consistent because he chooses to be. And so, you know, and the verbs, all the verbs in this passage are in the imperfect tense. The imperfect tense is a tense that shows action that is continuous. And so that's why often it's translated in the future, but it doesn't have to be. It shows continuous action. And so, and it's also used to express a desire, action that's desired. So God begins, you know, and again, Aaron, the high priest, is told to, is told to pronounce these words over the people, because the people had come to God, and they would come to God's house, and they would offer sacrifices, they would confess their sin, and that they would want God to protect them from war and heal them from diseases, and to inject himself and his power into the lives of the people. And you know, they had to face the issues of life. They had pandemics too. They had all kinds of needs. They had concerns about crops and their businesses and their finances and their health, their relationships. And so they would come to God, and they were aware that we come here and we confessed our sins and so on. And then before they went home, God wanted them to know that he responds to confession. He responds to that with atonement. And so he's going to send them home with his blessing. And so it's just so appropriate that he does that. And I've been talking. I know I'm supposed to stop at 5 minutes. You can take a break. So I'll shut up now, and then you can go on, and then we'll come back to this.
Well, you raise such an important point, because we don't often think about the Israelites and the struggles that they may have had parallel to what we experience, you know, business and finance and their health, the crops and all of the things that they had dealt with. We all have this one universal experience, and this blessing is an applicable thing for our lives today as much as it was in their day. And so we're going to come back in just a moment with Rabbi Jeff Adler, and we're going to share more on the Aaronic blessing. We are so blessed to be joined by Rabbi Jeff Adler for Throwback Thursday from Messianic Congregation Sha'arei Yeshua. We're examining number 6 and the Aaronic blessing. Good morning, Rabbi. Thank you for hanging in there with us and really expanding our understanding of what this blessing is.
Yeah, this passage is just such a blessing. It isn't a prayer, but it certainly establishes the context for praying. Why God has us pray, that we're not just praying into the air. We're praying to a God who wants to hear us and who wants to respond to us. Michael Rydelnik, when he was on the air with you yesterday, when Kelly was interviewing him, he was talking. He quoted C.S. Lewis, You know that prayer doesn't change God; it changes me. It gets me in line with Him, with a God who's receptive. And so he begins. The blessing begins. Yevarechecha Adonai, the Lord is blessing you. And the root meaning of the verb used here means to bend the knee. And you know, when we bless God, we bend the knee. We submit to Him. But we're puzzled by, well, why does God bend the knee to me? It's very much like if we're in a mall and we see a crying child, we run to help that child. The child can't come up to the level of the adult. So what does the adult do? The adult bends the knee, stoops down to relate to that child. And so when God blesses us, that's the stance he takes. And so the Lord is stooping down to address us, to address our needs. And he's keeping us. That verb means to keep or to guard, to protect. We have a very protective father. That he is in us. I heard a commercial that's been playing on your station about Daniel in the lion's den. The Lord stooped down on Daniel in that den and protected him from the lions. And so the lions, it's not that their nature had changed, but God shut their mouths. And when the people who had conspired against Daniel were thrown into that very same den, the lions went crazy on them. They devoured them. They smashed them. They crushed them and devoured them, because God had stooped down to guard and protect. And even though I walk through the valley, the 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the valley of Tzalmavet, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. You're stooping down to relate to me. Mm. The Lord is making his face to shine. The word face used in the scriptures is often translated the presence of God. And the presence of God generally is the face of God, that God's not just in the area somewhere, that we have face time with him. And so the Lord is making his face to shine. What does that mean? That means his face is lighting up. You know, we often don't grasp the fact that God is thrilled when we come into his presence. What in the world can we do for him? The eighth Psalm says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you've ordained, ma enosh, what is man? And that word for man comes from the verb to be sickly or weak, implying that there's nothing I can do for God that he couldn't do better for himself. But he loves us. It would like when a father watches his little 3-year-old child playing, his face lights up. He's thrilled the child can't do anything really for him, but he loves doing for that child. And that's God's attitude. His face lights up. And his grace is toward us, unmerited favor. God responds that way, even though I can't do anything. It's undeserved kindness, but he is gracious toward us. And the Lord is turning his face toward us. That means that when God, to put it into our own context, that when we come in, think of all the things God operates, every amoeba, every cell, every proton, neutron, every molecule in creation is administered constantly by God. The biggest things, the smallest things, he runs them 24 hours a day. It's not like he created the world and then took off to Tahiti. You know, it is, and yet it is the sense of that when we come into the presence of God, he puts down the paper, closes the book, turns off the TV and the computer, and gives us his full attention. And he turns his face toward us, and he grants us shalom. And shalom is that wonderful word. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 53 says he will, that of the Messiah, he will be wounded mi pesheinu, for our rebellion. Strongest word for sin. And he will be wounded for our rebellion, shall be crushed for our guilt. The punishment that leads to our shalom, our well-being, will fall upon him. And that it is the restoration of every good intention God ever had for us when he created us. And he will grant us well-being. That's the intent of God. That's why he sent the Messiah. Therefore, as Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified, being made righteous by faith, we have peace with God. We have shalom with God through Yeshua HaMashiach Adonenu, Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. And so that's God's intention. And so the reason we pray to him, this passage states God's intent. That's why it's a good thing to pray. We're going to an audience. When we pray, we have an audience with the King of Kings, an appointment with him. And as Revelation chapter 4 says, when the elders surround the throne of God, in ancient world, nobody got to sit in the presence of a king. They had to stand, and they had to be lower in height. But God puts out a chair for us. He wants us to sit. That's what the 24 thrones of Revelation 4 shows they represent us. So when we come into the presence of God as princes and princesses of God's kingdom, he puts out a chair for us to sit in, to sit there in the presence. We don't know that God doesn't need to sit down. He's not tired. So why is the idea of a throne there? It's because God is not just busily walking around. He sits down to give us full attention. And his face lights up. And so that's what this blessing is. And so as people are praying, you know, they, and I know that that's the theme, the theme this week. Actually, I'm sure it's a theme all year round, but, mm-hmm. But the whole idea is that God is receptive to our being there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Rabbi, we would be remiss if we didn't ask you to pray the blessing. Would you, over those who have been seeking God's favor, asking and bringing their petitions before the Lord, despite our rebellion, as you said, it's unmerited favor. And so we would just ask, if you would please, to share that blessing in Hebrew.
Okay. And Ray asked me to chant it. I will try to chant it. This will not be one of my top 40 hits, but anyway. Yevarechech Adonai v'yishmorecha, Ya'ir Adonai panav alecha v'chonecha, Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. And before I translate, many of the people in the audience know the English. They've heard it said in churches. It's the one that begins, may the Lord bless you and keep you. I would just like to invite them, if they're there with people at work, if they're at the office already, or if they're there with their families, maybe they could turn to each other and bless it, because we never bless each other enough or get blessed enough. So I'll translate. Maybe you and Steve, maybe Steve and Ray, maybe you could just say it to each other. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and grant you well-being, shalom, peace, in the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, Shar Shalom, Jesus the Messiah, and the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. And you know what I like about this? The next verse says, so they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.
Wow. And that verb to bless, it is actually the last word in the passage. It's in the imperfect tense, and God says, I will make a pattern of blessing them.
Wow.
I will make a pattern of stooping down to address them.
Well, there is no way that we can be lifted up to his level. So there is no choice in his grace and mercy for him to meet us where we are in our rebellion, that unmerited favor. Rabbi, this has been an absolute blessing, but I want to encourage each one of you, if you'd like to learn more, you can go to the resources tab on kellyandsteve.org, or you can go to sha'arayyeshua.org. You can also, on Facebook, tune in on Friday evenings around 7:30. You're going to find Messianic Congregation Sha'arei Yeshua on Facebook, where you will see Shabbat services being streamed every Friday. Rabbi, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. And God bless you.
It's Throwback Thursday on Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Call or text them now at 800-969-9467.